good evening. This is Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views and the views of our guest. And our guest this evening is Colonel Ron Ray. And Colonel Ray was a retired Marine Corps colonel, fought in Vietnam. He certainly served under the Reagan administration as Assistant Secretary of Defense. He's been on the front lines of the battle to try to preserve the Christian heritage of this country, has prepared a number of briefs that have been presented at this, to the highest courts of our country. And without further ado, we're going to talk about the attack on Christianity in America today. And I don't think you can understand much of what's going on unless you understand, as it tells us in the Holy Scriptures, that there is an organized conspiracy against God. And whether it be certainly in Ezekiel 22:25 or the second Psalm, there have always been those who would destroy the Word of God. And they are working very hard in America today. And this is why they took God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our institutions, and why they're trying to take prayer out of our service academy. So with that as the background, Colonel Ray, please pick up the story.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. This is very timely, and it's a developing story. Yesterday, the Associated Press did a little summation, focusing first on the Naval Academy. The Naval Academy has been threatened over the last 3 years by the American Civil Liberties Union, and then most recently by B'nai B'rith, the Jewish Freemasonry of the Anti-Defamation League. And they have refused to give up a traditional prayer going back to the founding of the Academy in 1845, that they have a formal prayer offered at the lunch meal in which all the midshipmen are present. But in the Associated Press release, they pointed out that the Air Force has this a new policy that to discourage most public prayer. And that's been in the press in the last couple of days. Again, there have been a lot of pressures brought in. Some of the same groups have been very critical of the Air Force Academy. So they've dropped prayer. The Naval Academy's refused to drop prayer. The article mentioned that the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, no prayer precedes the noon meal there. The Air Force Academy is going to have 20 seconds of silence before lunch, period. The Citadel dropped its prayer under pressure from the ACLU a year and a half ago, and Virginia Military Institute, which was the centerpiece of litigation brought by the ACLU and also attacked by the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and a group called Citizens United for Separation of Church and State, have put a lot of pressure on them. But despite the media coverage, the VMI came out of that case with the right to restore its mealtime prayer, and its board of visitors are currently considering whether to do that. So what we're seeing in time of war, we're seeing these radical groups that have been attacking various elements of Christianity in our society, essentially since they were, most of these groups came into public knowledge right after World War One. The brief that was filed in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals by the ACLU and these other groups really had extreme language. They called historic military mealtime prayers. Now, these are leader-led, sometimes chaplain-led, non-sectarian prayers, very common throughout our military services and academies, going all the way back to 1774. We, in our research, tracked uncovered 67 prayer books that were distributed to our fighting forces, including the midshipman's prayer, the cadet prayer at West Point, which was Eisenhower's favorite prayer throughout his life, as well as Omar Bradley, the first chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so they claim this was religious indoctrination. That's what in their brief. They said that these mealtime prayers constituted religious indoctrination and represented religious fanaticism.
Hold that thought right there, please. well, I guess this evening, Colonel Ron Ray, and we're talking about the briefs that have been filed by the, what I refer to as the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, the ACLU, because that is really its purpose. It's to undermine and destroy the Christian fabric of this society, the great Christian foundation of this society, and they object to prayer of any sort. Now, they don't object when, say, the president called people to prayer after 9-1-1. But their attacks will be on the minds of the young people of this country and destroy the religious foundation of our military. You destroy our military. They know exactly what they're doing, and they are part of an anti-Christian movement in this country, and it permeates every aspect of our society. So pick up the story there.
Yeah, I was going to say they use you talk about hate crimes, you talk about extremism. The language used in a brief filed in the Fourth Circuit in the VMI case by this group of radical groups, they called these non-sectarian, and believe me, these are very watered down prayers for family, for VMI, for country, for the Corps of Cadets. In other words, these are very watered down prayers. They're not in the name of Jesus Christ. They're like I said, non-sectarian prayers, and they call that religious indoctrination. And they said these prayers represent, this is a quote from the brief, religious fanaticism and ideological proselytizing that are engendering animosity and destruction worldwide.
And but talk about religious bigotry. I mean, they are the epitome of bigotry, and yet and they're anti-Christian bigots. But nobody's going to say that. Oh my goodness, you know that these people are just trying to enforce the wall of separation of church and state. No, they have an intense hatred of America, and they know this was founded as a Christian nation. That they can destroy the Christian foundation of our this nation, they can destroy this nation. That's what it's really about.
And to do it at the time of war, they've got people intimidated. They've got it set up now. The way these cases go down, if the ACLU wins any part of its claim, and these groups win any part of the claim, they can, even against the public body, they can go back and get their attorney's fees. You know, which is basically using the public treasury as a way to de-Christianize America, but I want you to know I'm making a sharp distinction between their efforts in the military, which are relatively recent, as opposed to the 65 years that they've dedicated themselves. Again, going all the way back, the first public trial the ACLU was in was the Scopes trial in 1925 in Dayton, Tennessee, when they took on the notion of the crime of Tennessee of teaching evolution, which was against the law. In fact, Scopes was found guilty.
Hold that thought right there for just a moment. Well, Dr. Stan and our guest this evening, Colonel Ron Ray, just tracking the history of the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Lawyers Association, the ACLU, or union, the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, and how they'd really begun their attack on Christianity with the Scopes trial. And, of course, they wanted to get teaching or mention of God out of our schools. First of all, they wanted to bring evolution into our schools and not allow anybody to mention that it was God that created the heaven and the earth, and that was actually our foundation of our freedom was based upon God, the words of our Declaration of Independence, that talked about our Creator that gave us life, liberty, and property, and that to secure these liberties, why governments were created among men, deriving their power from the consent of the governed. They've got to do away with this idea of the Creator if they're going to do away with the idea of freedom under God and replace it with subservience under the government that they will support.
Well, that's true, and it is interesting that the Declaration of Independence, the lawyers are not taught this anymore, but the Declaration of Independence, if you go into American law, if you look at the public statutes at large of the United States of America, which was widely printed in the early 1840s, remember, the founders were starting to die, then when the founders, finally the last one, I think, was James Madison that died, for the first 60 years of this country, if somebody had a thought about what the founders really intended, all they had to do was talk to them. But they began to die away, and there was a capturing of the formation of the Union. There was a book published by the United States Senate with the approval of the House of Representatives that funded it, and it was called The Formation of the Union, and they published the statutes at large, And the first statute of American law is the Declaration of Independence. The second one is the Articles of Confederation. The third is the Constitution. The fourth is the Northwest Ordinance. The fifth is the Bill of Rights. In other words, these are the organic laws that found America, and it basically says that there's a self-evident truth, that there's a creator. And these men are speaking as statesmen, not as churchmen. The sad thing to me, Stan, is I've worked in these cases now for many, many years, going back 15 or 16 years, virtually full-time. But the two groups of Americans who know the least about the why America is a Christian nation, or what it means to be one nation under God, or would understand what that, why we have a national motto of "In God We Trust," are pastors, Christian pastors from across America, and lawyers. They've both been indoctrinated. They both have a very poor understanding of the foundations of American law and civil government, and the pastors don't know how to talk about it in a way that would be historically based under the history of the state. They talk church talk. They sound like Jerry Falwell. They sound like Pat Robertson in the public arena, which is not exactly how these things should be talked about. But it is important to know that the ACLU was founded and funded to be a legal arm as part of a well-organized effort against America, a Christian nation. Most lawyers have never heard that the Supreme Court, between 1844 and 1931, held four times that America was a Christian nation. And what did they mean by that? And what did the court say in 1892, February 29th, the famous case, Holy Trinity Church versus United States? The court deliberated 10 years. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't just during a single term. They deliberated and researched for 10 years before they issued an opinion in that case and studied the history of America's founding, going all the way back to 1492. The first document they reviewed was the charter to Christopher Columbus from the King and Queen of Spain. So from the discovery in 1492 to 1892, when this opinion was handed down, was a period of 400 years, and the unanimous court said that all of our organic utterances, now that's a term that most Americans don't understand anymore, but 50 or 60 or 80 years ago, they would understand that that's the structure of your government. That's not just a statute that Congress passes. It's not just a court case. This is the organic laws that make up the structure of our limited and separated powers that make us a constitutional republic. And they said for 400 years, from 1492 to 1892, there was not a single organic utterance to the contrary, that we're a religious people, that our laws and institutions were based on principles from the Old and New Testament, and to this extent, from the discovery of the continent to this present hour, there's a single voice making this affirmation: this is a Christian nation. And that was echoed, as I say, from 1844 as recently as 1931. And with the election of Franklin Roosevelt and in his administration, Felix Frankfurter, of Harvard Law School, who was one of the founders of the ACLU, very active with Roscoe Pound, a 33rd degree Mason at Harvard. Frankfurter was early in the U.S. War Department, used Harold Lasky to help mastermind the conference in England with the Fabian Socialists. Lasky was the chief liaison officer between the Fabian Socialists of England and their counterparts in the United States. And Frankfurter used his influence to bring Lasky to Harvard to lecture for 4 years in a period 1916 to 1920. This was the formative period. Frankfurter probably brought more young lawyers into the New Deal in the Roosevelt administration, and then eventually he's put on the court in 1939. And in 1940 and 41, that begins the 65-year period when there were a whole series of cases in the U.S. Supreme Court, during which high-degreed Masons controlled the court from 41 to 71, you begin to get the series of so-called separation of church and state cases, usually brought by the ACLU or similar groups, and you had Frankfurter on the court, appearing to be a conservative, coordinating these efforts behind the scenes, meeting with ACLU groups while he was a sitting Supreme Court justice. And it's very interesting, I found something that you may not be familiar with. I found a page of the Congressional Record that was published in 1930, and it records a letter that Theodore Roosevelt wrote to Frankfurter in December the 19th, 1917. And this is what it said: former President Teddy Roosevelt, writing directly to Frankfurter, "You have taken," said President Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, an attitude which seems to me to be fundamentally that of Trotsky and the other Bolshevik leaders in Russia, an attitude which may be fraught with mischief to this country. Well, that's an understatement, and we're experiencing it today. Now, let me bring you forward to say that in they're lawless. This is a legal revolutionaries because the ACLU has lost a series of cases against civilian colleges where they've attacked prayer at various ceremonies in civilian colleges. And in each of the cases, the ACLU loses, and the courts have uniformly said, and these are appeals courts in this country, have said, there's nothing wrong with adults, that is 18 years old and older, adults being called together in a formal prayer at a civilian college. And, of course, the military has a much different standard. So the notion that they would attack the military when they've lost the cases in civilian colleges would let you know that they don't abide by the law. They don't abide by a series of determinations in court after full and complete hearings. They continually press their radical agenda. Even though they did not prevail in the VMI, they prevailed like they did. Just like in 1925, when Scopes was convicted, the media made a monkey out of the people of Tennessee who believed the creation was the proper account, who agreed with the founding fathers that it was a self-evident truth. And even though they lost the case, just like the ACLU lost the case in the VMI, the media presented it the other way, including the Christian press, the conservative. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.